Hello, chaotic lesbians. My name is Kara.
My name is May. Sorry, I stepped on your line. I got excited. Oh my god, you guys.
Well, this is an exciting episode, and welcome back to Lesbians Are Brutal, a queer ultimatum podcast. Today, we are recapping episode 5 of the Queer Ultimatum. This episode was absolutely insane.
This might be the best one.
Well, episode 6 was really good.
That's true. Gosh, it's getting good.
Gosh, it's getting good.
Oh my goodness gracious, is it getting good?
But before we start, May, what is your ultimatum of the week?
Ooh, what's my ultimatum of the week? And you know what? I had one right until you asked me that, and then I forgot it immediately. Kara, what's your ultimatum of the week while I think of mine?
My ultimatum of the week is theater directors, particularly high school theater directors, be normal.
Ooh.
Don't
T.
put your children who you were assigned to in danger.
Oh my god, what?
Don't be mean to them. And don't make them say slurs. I was talking with some of my fandom friends. I almost said fans. They're not my fans. We are friends. We are
They're
fandom
fans
friends.
Friends of the same.
Fans of the same book
fans
series.
Fans who are friends. Friends who are fans of the same thing.
Friends who are fans of the same thing, and I am fans of all of them. About some theater stories, I will share some of my own. My high school theater director once, this was caught on video, we were all dancing in a circle because, you know, we were children.
It's theater.
He comes in and he throws a chair and he yells at, have I not told you this story?
Threw a chair?
Well, he didn't throw a chair at anyone.
Okay.
So
I don't
I
think
guess
they,
that's preferable.
I don't think that gets you anywhere, but all right.
It was caught on video too, and he still works there, I think. I understand your ego is probably already fragile, and for some of you, that's how you got to where you are.
Tea.
However, just don't take out your previous bad experiences in the theater with children, and also, don't make them do things which are unsafe. Don't throw chairs towards them.
That's a good one. Mine is just, let's limit the fireworks, please. And the reason I say this is because I don't like it. It makes me sad. I've seen too many TikToks about dogs that are sad about the fireworks because they're scared. Also, obviously, I should not say dogs before I say, like, human beings with PTSD from war. There are human beings with PTSD from literal war that are very traumatized by fireworks, and also dogs. And I just think, like, the amount of people we're traumatizing, fireworks aren't that good. I think they're fine.
They're mid. They're mid.
The ones that crackle are good, but those are always just like one or two of them.
Fireworks, I think, reach a peak as soon as you hit 5 and you're not
scared
of them anymore, and then they very quickly drop off.
Oh my god, you're right. Yeah, I am just like anti-fireworks is how I'm coming out, I think. I'm pro those dogs that you have to give trazodone to and a piece of cheese. I think that's really funny. I like those videos where they're like, we have to give my dog some medicine. We hit it in some cheese, but it makes me sad that they literally people have to do that because like we have to have shiny stuff. That's a bummer.
Yeah, it is a bummer.
Shout
and
out to
also
dogs.
For context, the 4th of July was yesterday.
Yeah, girl.
And so people have been continually
pew,
getting
pew,
rid
pew,
of
pew,
all their
pew,
fireworks
that's my
today.
Bam, 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 bam.
Unnecessary. Largely
like
unnecessary.
I'm anti. We're keeping it. Let's keep it short and sweet because we got some shit to
talk
about.
Well, in the world of the ultimatum, on screen, they really aren't doing much together as a couple, but off screen, Kyle and Bridget have really risen through the ranks.
Oh, they're so funny on the internet.
Their presence is so funny.
Bridget's funny! Where is this Bridget? We barely see.
Well, she's with Ashley, and so she's not getting any screen time.
Yeah, because Ashley has some clause where she can only be in 5 minutes of the show total.
Marita fought to put that in there because she was mad at her.
Hashtag where is Ashley?
Hashtag where is Ashley? Show us to her. Lady Gaga is searching for her. She's
Literally.
Searching for answers.
She investigates.
What was that from exactly again? I'm trying to remember. She was like
January 6th.
Yeah, she was like, I searched for answers. And I was like, you go, Lady Gaga.
She investigated. I don't know where or how, but good. Glad she did that.
I trust that she did what she needed to do. I think the funniest thing is that Bridget and I think Kyle posted a video of Bridget on TikTok where they were trying to figure out the love language of the crows.
Oh yeah, so
in their
just
apartment.
Cawing at the crows while Kyle's saying, "Are you breaking up with me?"
Which is words of affirmation, and Bridget is like, "Caw," and May strongly believes that I cannot talk to animals.
Yeah, she believes. Here's what I know: science, people can't talk to animals.
My friend's cat, Dimitri, understands the human language.
That's different. He's basically a toddler.
How's goodbye?
He's a human toddler. That's different. That's a very smart cat.
It's a very smart cat.
And he's also, you guys aren't speaking the same language. He understands when to make a noise as a cue, but he's not saying a word you understand.
I've occasionally, I can understand what he says when he says meow. Usually he's saying feed me,
sure.
Feed me.
But he's just making the sound to indicate that. He's not saying feed me in a language you speak. If he did the meow shorter or longer when he meant feed me, you would still understand what he meant because it's not about the actual thing he's saying. It's about the time he chooses to make the sound. That's not language.
Okay, whatever. I think when Bridget was cawing at the crows, they understood her. That being said, that's all we have from the world of the Queer Ultimatum.
Yeah,
so
not
let's
much.
Get into.
I want to talk. I have so much to say.
Yes, we start.
Oh my God,
with
I have so much to
say. Crazy scene.
Guys, here's what happens. Okay, first of all, I wrote that there is the sunrise because we see the sun come up and there are like weird drums as the music. And then we're in some security footage. We're in Dana and Mel's apartment. They are kissing on the couch and then they get up and walk into the bedroom. And there's kind of a zoom on some, like, wine that's on the table. And so to me, I was like, wow, like, they're really telling us they fucked anyway. And I thought the scene would end there. But what happens next is so diabolical. I guess this season they couldn't have the bedroom cams.
Because of the false imprisonment allegations.
Because of the crimes. They could not have. So we can't actually see the fucking. So instead, Netflix does something that I would say is worse.
I guess. Is
loud ass moaning.
Loud moaning.
We hear, literally, they are. It is cartoon porn pop up on your laptop moaning. It is I don't even want to do it on the pod because what if some freaks are listening? I don't even want to imitate.
No, I'm kind of curious.
No. I shan't. You know, it's their classic. You know, it's that on my TV, in my house, in front of my TV,
right in front of my salad,
right in front of my fucking coffee table. What the damn hell?
What the damn hell indeed. Now, what's interesting
is
it will become a whole controversy whether Mel and Dana actually, I think at this point they've admitted to it, but they're like, well, it's not technically having sex, and it's just like, shut up.
Yeah, we're going to litigate that at the reunion, but here's what I have to say.
Mel, I will say, Mel claimed, and then you can get to what you were going to say.
Yeah.
Mel claimed on TikTok that the moans were edited in
from
another couple.
Yeah. Okay. Very interesting.
I don't believe that shit for one second.
Yeah, there's no way to prove that. Here's what I think. If y'all are making those noises, that counts as sex.
Yeah,
whatever
I don't
you're
care
doing
what you
physically,
were doing.
Whatever bodies are doing to other bodies to get those noises, sex.
Also, I'm sorry, but if we're considering some of the things that are bad in this, the trial marriages, like what is and isn't cheating, even though you're technically broken up with your ex and even though you're technically all, like, not cheating because it's a separate marriage. Dana and Mel are being absolutely insane together.
Even if they weren't moaning crazy, I still think they're cheating.
They still do everything else they do together as a couple.
Also, there's a lot of dialogue, particularly from straight people, about what counts as lesbian sex, because there's not a penis sometimes. So it's like, well, if there's no penis, how do you know when it's sex?
Yeah.
And what I have to say to that is, mind your business.
Mind your business.
Like, mind your damn business.
I'm
it's sex
saying.
If it is, and it's not if it isn't, and we...
If you're making those noises, something's going on.
Those are from sex. I think we could safely say that those are the noises that sex makes.
Also, I think it would be so unlikely that Mel, and I get it, it's edited, whatever. Like, I think that a lot of this, they said it. They want to blame it on the edit. They are the one
yes.
who is saying it.
Oh, you want to blame
They're
it on the
They're calling each other
edit.
Their soulmates 3 weeks in.
Yeah, you want to blame it on the edit? You're the one who moaned it.
You're the one who bet it.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So that's a crazy intro.
They are saying such insane codependent things to each other at 2 weeks in that I would be shocked if they didn't fuck.
I felt wrong hearing that. Like, my apartment's pretty small, so, like, my TV is right next to my kitchen, and I was just like, ew, in my house?
Where I make my dinner?
Literally, where I make my pasta? Like, where I toast my toast? You guys are making those noises?
Did you think
disgusting!
That was better or worse than the literal fucking found footage that was
Oof.
In season one? And don't forget,
Oof.
Even before the fucking found footage, to establish that Tiff and Mildred were, like, the hot on-and-off couple.
Oh, yeah, they kept making... They made...
they had
they
a
had
full
that weird
edit.
Sex photo shoot edit
They
thing.
Had a weird sex
okay.
photo shoot edit of
I
them.
I think the moans...
Not even security cam footage.
They shot that. I think the moans are better than... I don't know. This is... I get that, like, dating and romance and sex, but, like, I like bachelor rules for sex where it's, like, illegal to talk about it unless you're yelling or if somebody's a virgin and then you can talk about it all the time.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think that the producers of The Queer Ultimatum think we're stupid. And
yeah,
to be fair, we're watching the show.
Yeah. Wow, yeah, true.
This show is stupid.
And
this show
we're
is
dumb for watching
crazy,
it.
Stupid, bad.
I'm not sitting on a hard surface and it's affecting my hips.
So
I'm young and hot. So that's the intro.
So that's how it starts.
Boom. TV. And then
Next,
we hit the beach.
We have to wrap up the stuff that happened last episode between Pilar and Kyle. They are sitting on a concrete wall by the water on the beach.
Everything Kyle and Pilar do is tense. I wrote tense beach day. Like, everything they do is just
They're
stiff.
Both, like... I think Pilar hides it better because Pilar is a Libra, and theoretically Kyle should be able to hide it better because Kyle is a Leo, but I think Kyle is very open about the fact that this entire experience has made them feel very overwhelmed, and I think Pilar, too, is just an extremely anxious and fear-ridden person. So,
yeah,
it comes off together. This is a tense pairing.
Kyle is kind of apologizing and saying that they were giving some mixed signals regarding the kiss and that conflict is difficult for them. Pilar says she thought she was communicating, so they're talking about communication. Genuinely, probably an important conversation for folks to have who are dating. Like, what does communicating look like for you? Whether it's physical, implied, whether it's said out loud. Definitely. But this is two strangers having this conversation, so yeah, it's a little tense.
It's a little weird. It's a little weird and tense, and yeah, sorry, I totally lost my train of thought.
Kyle is talking about how conflict is kind of difficult for them.
That seems to be the trend and the idea of what the main problem between them and Bridget's relationship is.
Yeah,
is
that Kyle doesn't like conflict.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Well, Kyle says that their family doesn't really work on things because they have mean sisters.
Well, Pilar says that Kyle is very jabby, which, I don't know. Did you find Kyle to be very jabby in, like, the argument that they had with Pilar?
I think Kyle is just very enunciated and clear. I didn't find them particularly jabby. Maybe they just notice things and Pilar is not enjoying the noticing.
Yeah, I think Pilar was extremely offended at the idea that she was playing the game, as it were.
Yeah, the idea that Pilar was kind of doing anything wrong was very alarming to her. And I think
I blame the Catholicism, personally.
Yeah, her guilt seems to be going just absolutely crazy.
But I think she's trying too much to litigate that she didn't do... Well, she does say she's like, I was wrong for her. You know, doing this and not respecting your boundaries, which is true. But I think maybe she's trying to litigate her guilt a little bit too much in this.
They agree to kind of start over, and Pilar does...
Yeah, oh, and that's the thing about the sisters that Kyle says. My implication of this is Kyle has feminine sisters who maybe enjoy Greek life personally. Because I love you, Megan. I have a mean sorority sister. And it's extremely funny, but I can totally understand why.
Well,
if you're with straight sisters, that might be a little bit hard. As a more masculine presenting person, such as Kyle.
I was just going to say, in general, having sisters, like, you are taught to litigate your arguments through words of pain.
Well, your mom was also a lawyer, so
that's true.
My sister and
I
used to litigate our arguments through physical violence.
Which is bonkers to me. That she told me her and her sister would physically fight. Me and my sisters... It was the words. We hurt each other with our words and our thoughts. So
I think it would have benefited you all to physically fight. Yeah.
My sisters would fucking take me out, dude. I don't think anybody should be physically fighting in my family. I don't feel safe. I'm related to some strong folks.
Yeah.
One time my mom judo flipped my brother. That was actually awesome. That was actually huge. I was like maybe 13 when it happened, and I think about it all the time. It was fucking so cool.
It's very cool.
That was sick as fuck.
But that's the main thing we get from this. We get a little bit of Kyle background. They tentatively agree to move forward. Kyle gets very emotional.
Yes, I liked that actually.
Yeah, and she was like, I'm happy that you came at this not immediately saying I'm a bad person. And I'm just like, damn, what has Kyle gone through?
Yeah, Kyle says that Pilar made them feel safe to have conflict. Because there is conflict in relationship, and Kyle says it means a lot to them that Pilar was able to kind of be in conflict with Kyle without immediately being like, I hate you. I thought that was genuinely sweet. Like, there are some really great and touching moments in this show, and then just some bonkers shit.
Some bonkers shit. And then it's just, that's the problem with having some straight lady as the host. I feel like she doesn't push back on enough of the people who are advancing things that are not necessarily true and also exhibiting behaviors which are unhealthy, and she doesn't do enough of encouraging the stuff that arguably is the single like tiny little gold nuggets to come out of the show, is that we do get to see from the cast this sort of introspection on how they are in relationships and how some things that they might need to work on in their original relationship come out in the relationship with the trial partner.
But enough serious thoughts.
Yeah, they need to wrap this shit up because we have more serious things to get into.
Way more stuff to get into.
Besides whatever is going on with Kyle and Pilar.
Which is Haley and Megan meeting some friends of Megan.
I wrote in all caps, she has a support system?
Yeah.
Question mark.
Why are these friends?
Not telling her to break up with Dana?
Seriously. And also her friends, lesbian friends of Megan, I think. It's never said that they're a lesbian couple, but it's a lesbian couple.
We can tell.
And they're both crazy jacked.
Both
and,
crazy
hot. Wow, I forgot that Megan is a personal trainer. And then her friends show up and they're so strong. And that's got to be also hard for Megan because the mask one's hotter than her. So that's a bummer.
I said Megan is being outbunned because
mask had a hot little low bun.
A better low bun than the top
bun. Well, because the top bun's for vanity. A low bun is for purpose. You have a low bun because you've got stuff to get done. You might be going through short doorways carrying things. You can't have your hairstyle knocked off the top of your head.
I am holding a lot of space for Megan and the top bun because I think a lot of it is like every day for that girl.
That's really true.
Survival instinct. She can't focus on
trying
a new haircut.
That's really true. Megan introduces Haley as her tri-wife or her Trilly Willy. Yikes.
Haley seems to kind of like think that's cute though.
And you know what? She's allowed to think whatever she wants. I can't tell her what to think. I can just say what I think, which is that's dumb.
Would you still want to marry me if
you
I
called
said
me
Trilly Willy?
I would think seriously about it. I would say you never say that again.
I've said goofier things than Trilly Willy.
I don't know, that one's really goofy. To the point of almost being cringe.
Almost. But this is a very sweet scene. Her friends seem nice and normal. I'm just like, how did you end up with Dana?
Yeah, because her friends seem so normal and they're kind of asking these questions about living together. Haley talks about how there isn't a baseline conflict. They live together very well. If Megan takes the trash out, Haley has put a new trash bag in the trash can by the time she's back. That's awesome. That is huge. Mm-hmm. I love that. I think that's really cute, and I think that's nice.
And I think it's nice that you see how people are becoming accustomed to living in a household together. And do you think they have chore charts?
I don't think they have chore charts. I think they both are the chore, the person who's the chore captain in their relationship. I think in a lot of relationships where couples live together, someone's the chore captain and someone is a chore servant. And so
I'm a chore servant.
Yeah. As a chore captain, I would say I think they both seem to be in the relationship, the person that points out, hey, the trash needs to go out.
It's chore captain for chore captain.
Yes.
They're also both Tauruses.
Yeah. And so I think they seem to align very nicely on what needs to be done. When the friends are asking about Megan's parents. Wow.
Yeah.
So this gets good. Megan has a whole little speech here. She kind of says that she doesn't want to live two separate lives, you know, her life with her family, her life in her relationships. She says she's been starving for this feeling of feeling like she's living a whole life, and she wants to protect it. She says she's more confident now because of being with Haley. She feels ready to stand up to her parents, and she feels like she can push herself without someone else pushing her. Then Megan starts crying because, yeah, and her friends are like, whoa. Mm-hmm. Her friends are like, oh my God, healthy emotion from Megan. They're very impressed.
Her friends are kind of thrilled. Like, they're like, well, maybe this whole 3-week thing, even though it sounds crazy, isn't that bad.
Yeah, they're kind of excited for her. And then a tray of meats arrives.
They're eating Lebanese food.
Yeah, Megan says this is the Lebanese experience. I didn't really get a good enough look at the food to know, but she does say you can't eat this without garlic, and that's true.
That is true.
That's a fact.
Wait, why am I speaking like I know anything about
it? I feed you Lebanese food.
I've eaten a lot of Lebanese food.
Yeah,
since
there's
I've been
lots
with her,
of garlicky
yes.
sauces. It's awesome.
I love garlic.
We do love garlic.
It's
pro garlic.
I'm Italian.
That's true. We're pro garlic on this pod. Lebanese Italian unity. We're pro garlic.
What was it they had? I feel like we should have written it down.
No, but I was trying, but I couldn't really
see. It was eggplant. There was eggplant.
There looked to be some kinds of grilled meats. I didn't really know what it was. It did seem like there were bowls of sauce. Sure.
That's one of the best meals you could have.
Yeah, definitely.
Bowls of sauce.
Just stuff to dunk in
Full
sauce.
Full bowls of sauce.
Just stuff to dunk
A
in
bread
sauce.
Bread service.
Wow, that sounds... Anyway, everyone's interested in the fact that Haley was with a more feminine person before, and... They kind of ask her, like, what's it like being with a mask? She says she's enjoying it because in her relationship, she's dominant with physical affection. So they talk specifically about hand-holding and who's grabbing the hand and who's holding the hand. Mm-hmm. And Haley seems to be into having someone lead her in physical affection. Whether that's masculine or feminine or not is not...
I can't picture Megan being dominant at all,
yeah,
if I'm being
like,
real.
I don't know that Megan is a dominant person in a relationship. But I guess she's the one doing the dominant hand-holding. One of the friends, I believe it's Nikki, says, is there potential here? And Haley and Megan say that they both will need each other in their lives after this experience.
Haley specifically says, guarantee I can never have Megan out of my life.
Yeah, we hear this a lot from a bunch of other different people in trial marriages who are saying, like, and regardless of where they are in their relationship, you know, whether they're full Mel and Dana crazy or whether they're just kind of getting to know each other, a lot of these people are saying that, like, whatever this experience has done for them, they want to still know the person that they were fake married to. And I think that makes a lot of sense. Like, this is a really intense experience.
Yeah.
I would want to keep in touch. I would want to, you know, I would not be saying hags. I would be saying Kit. That's a little bit of yearbook
Kit?
Language for you.
What
keep,
does that mean?
Keep in touch.
Oh!
And Hags
I've
is have a great
one.
Summer.
Hags is bye, bitch. I
Hags
hate
is
you.
I hate you.
I hate you.
Hags is I don't care if you live or die.
I don't even care enough to write out the full words, have a great summer.
Hags
That's,
is like,
you
could drown this
summer. You want to know how diabolical
summer.
That is? That got Lemon Bar guy?
There's an evil guy.
He was like one of my best friends in high school.
We hate him.
And he...
Did he put Hags in your... fucking yearbook.
He before I found out that he hated me because he sent me an itemized list of everything wrong I'd done in our friendship, including a time that I accidentally sat on his lemon bars.
So I call him Lemon Bar Guy, and I hate him.
He wrote Hags in my yearbook, and this had been someone who I had considered one of my close friends for 4 years.
Evil bitch.
So I should have wrapped it up at that point. I should have seen the writing on the wall.
Ugh. Wow. We can't get into it, or I'll talk too much about how I hate a random person. And that's not really useful. So Megan and Haley gets officially welcomed into the squad. Everybody goes, woohoo.
They absolutely have a little like buff lesbian group chat
called
the squad.
They're doing push-ups in there. They're doing emotional push-ups. Then we get to an AJ and Marie scene. They're sitting on a couch. Marie looks furious and she says, I have never felt more alone. Yay.
Yeah. Marie is going to be going through it for the foreseeable future on the show.
Yeah, this is a...
Things kind of keep getting worse
for
her.
Wow, bad time for Marie. Marie is talking about trauma that she was processing in her life, that she was processing with Mel, which she is now processing alone, and is horrified that Mel can't even look at her. And I would say, yeah.
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 Yeah, yeah.
like,
they've known each other since high school.
If we were doing the ultimatum and I walked past you without looking at you,
I would know. I'm like, she's getting it so much better from her trial partner. I would
I would be in the wrong.
No, you would be in the wrong, but I would automatically assume I'm like, that's done with me.
I would not be done with you.
I know.
Wow, that would be terrible. If anything, that would be a sign I was being held hostage.
That's true.
Because I like
you were with the Dana of the season.
Marie really says that she resents AJ for being able to talk to Brittany and not be torn up about it still, because Mel and Marie have known each other for so long. And it really hurt Marie that Mel could pretend that she doesn't exist.
Yeah. And Marie says something where, again, pointing out that she has some of the highest stakes of literally anybody in this competition. Should things go awry, I literally lose everything.
Literally. Her relationship, her food truck, that's pretty much it. But those are the
her
two
livelihood.
Things. Yeah, her partner and her career.
And according to their backstory in the promo, they knew each other before Marie came out, but I think after Marie came out, it's suggested she pretty quickly starts dating Mel.
Yeah, so they've known each other for a long time.
They've known each other for a long time. This might be one of Marie's first queer experiences, which to that I'm sorry.
She also talks about her kind of fears around abandonment.
Yeah.
So Marie shares some very traumatic emotional stuff. I would do a little bit of a 30-second skip forward for like family trauma stuff, but Marie shares that she stopped speaking to her mother and her mother died, it seems, by suicide.
Yeah.
It wasn't super clear, but she said Marie says she doesn't like thinking of herself as a victim of suicide, but that affects her.
And specifically that you said she previously stopped talking to.
Yes.
Yeah.
So she feels a lot of, I think there's probably a lot of trauma around, like, communication, sharing, being close to people. And Marie says that deep down, she's a very angry person.
We start to see a bit more of that.
We do start to see a bit more of that.
And I think AJ is kind of doing a pretty good job here. And she says, like, of course you are. You work 3 jobs.
Yes.
When do you have time to process?
I love AJ's arc. I really, so far, I'm really liking it. Like, I really like this kind of, like, wait. Who is AJ? Is AJ kind of a player? Do I even like AJ? What's going on? To seeing, like, the way that AJ is kind of supporting Marie in this and is listening to her and trying to make their life as stable as possible. Marie says she doesn't know what it feels like to be at peace with herself. And AJ says that Marie can trust her and asks Marie to let her in, to let her hold some of this for her. I thought that was, like, really lovely.
I think it's really lovely too. And I think AJ is just the kind of person who is very nice.
Yeah.
And likable. And I don't necessarily think it was disingenuous that so many people
felt
things towards her. And I think she did see something special in literally every girl that she was dating. But I also see how, you know, it could have come off. I'm sure maybe she did have somebody who she preferred, but I think the way that AJ is acting with Marie and really doing her best to be genuinely supportive of her and everything that she's going through, I feel like that disproves the player allegations just a little bit.
Yeah, we see a lot of AJ, and so we get to see kind of a better picture of who she is as a person, and I'm starting to like her.
I am starting to like AJ, in part because she says things that if Mel said them would constitute a war crime, but she still manages to make them like imagine if Mel said, I'm very well versed in pussy language.
What I would say to that is, I have a gun. I don't have a gun. But
don't tell the audience that. Like,
I
let
might
them
have
believe
a gun.
It.
You don't know. I've said I do and I don't. So Schrodinger's gun. Then we get Brittany and Marita time.
They're in bed together.
They're chilling. Brittany is talking about Marita's kind of bubbly personality. She says Marita doesn't have to be happy for her. Marita talks a little bit about how she focused on pleasing everyone else. Even when she was a kid, there was a lot of turmoil in her family, and she was the youngest. So she wanted everyone to kind of feel like they could be happy and casual and relaxed with her. Brittany says she wants Marita to put herself first. Marita says something that I feel like is so being 25, where she says
that at work she feels like she owes everything to everyone and she has to be her best and 100%, even though work doesn't fulfill her economically or emotionally. And I was like, wow, that's being 25.
Yeah, that's the story of your past two jobs.
I would say me, RN. I thought this was also like important to talk about how the way that you express yourself in relationships can affect your career, can be how you are in your career. I thought this was a really great little scene about what it's like to think critically about your life, not just your relationships, but also your life as a whole. I thought that was really sweet. Brittany is coaching Marita through realizing that she can stand up for herself. And to that, I think we both had the same thought.
Which is, who's helping Brittany stand up for herself?
Who's here for Brittany?
Who's here helping Brittany get through these things? Because I think Brittany and her relationship with AJ, considering she bought the house, is also in the role of a caretaker. And so she's in the role of a caretaker here as well.
Who is caring for Brittany?
Who is caring for... I think it would have been great for Brittany if she ended up in a trial marriage where someone would be able to take care of her.
Yeah, somebody who is a little bit more, like, proactive in that way. Maybe like Haley.
Yeah, maybe like Haley. I think that would make sense. I can't really think of anybody else in this cast, though.
I can't think of anybody else in this cast that's, like, a true giver like that.
Who wouldn't be, like, hold me, mommy?
Yeah, she's really awesome.
She's very cool.
And so then they watch Norbit.
Yeah. Which
I've never seen Norbit.
I've never seen Norbit either, but they seem like they're vibing. I honestly really love them.
Yeah, I think this is a very sweet relationship that we're seeing blossom. But don't worry, there are other ones that are happening too.
This portion drove me crazy.
Evil town. It was evil city.
Evil, back to Mel and Dana in their lair. But they're leaving their lair to go on a walk in the park.
Mel has her evil hair, which is with the bandana and the bun. And then Dana says that her mom is truly her best friend.
Evil. Red flag!
Oh my god!
You can be close to your mom.
Your mom's not your best
that
friend.
That is not your
Any
best friend.
Any woman who tells you that her mom is her best friend runs screaming in the opposite direction. Oh my fucking god.
I did say mother wound check.
Yeah.
Well, because Dana's mom...
We're gonna meet her.
Is... It's awesome. Like she's a single mom. She's... not with Dana's dad and has kind of a tumultuous dating life. And so that's like Dana's psychological reason for wanting to marry Megan is because she doesn't want to be like her mom and she wants some kind of stability. And so instead she's running into the full opposite direction and marrying someone she barely knows and kind of doesn't even really seem to like that much.
This is a really important conversation between the two of them. So we see Dana does this really fun thing where she tells Mel that it's literally like gaslighting word salad.
Oh my god. The two things the show loves the most, gaslighting and word salad. Dana, she tells this person she knows for 2 weeks that she actually wants the same things that Dana wants. And what Dana wants
is
marriage and children, is
and
a family.
She's telling Mel, essentially, you are too scared to admit to yourself that you want the same things I want. And Mel just keeps saying, I just don't want that.
Yeah. And now
I just don't want it.
In this conversation, I'm team Mel.
Yeah. If I said, I think you're too scared to admit that you really want to eat pizza, and you said, I just don't want pizza, that would be insane.
I don't want to eat pizza. End of conversation.
It would be like...
End of conversation.
If you told me I was too scared to admit that I really wanted to eat meat, because I'm pescatarian, I don't eat meat. It'd be like if you're like, you're just too scared to admit that you want to eat a hot dog. Hey, I want to eat a hot dog.
You admit that very freely.
Guys, wow, I miss hot dogs. But I don't eat hot dogs because I took a random moral stance 8 years ago, and here we are.
And now you're scared that if a bite of meat passes your lips again, you'll throw up.
I'm scared it'll make me sick.
You'll projectile vomit.
So that's crazy.
I would never do that, even though sometimes I really wish we could share wings.
I know.
It's okay, though.
Fans of the podcast, please share.
The things I do for love.
Share wings with Kara. She just wants to share wings.
It's just awkward to eat them with one person.
And she's right. And I don't really want to eat, like, cauliflower wings because they're not good.
I don't mind cauliflower wings.
Yeah, but they're not that good.
They're not as good.
Neither of us would be satisfied by cauliflower wings.
Yeah.
Then we get something
This
crazy.
Conversation somehow gets more insane.
Wow. Yeah. Oh, my God. Do you want to say it? It's so crazy.
Mel says that she doesn't want kids because she found out that her health at 16 were so severe that she could not safely carry a child, that either she would die or the child would die. She, and I don't know how true this is, She claims she never told Marie.
That's crazy.
Someone she has known for 10 years, and her reason for not wanting to marry Marie is because she's like, well, I can just kind of, like, tell
that Marie wants kids.
She's
never asked for them or, like, hounded me for them, but she was just born to be a mom. So I can't tell her this.
You've dated her for 4 years!
You've dated her for four years.
Knowing this, and...
Not telling her, claiming not telling her.
Either she has told her that about this, and for whatever reason, she's lying to Dana to make herself seem... to make Dana feel special, which is its own other kind of fucked up.
Could be possible. Or you're... likely possible.
Possible. Or you're telling someone who you've known for, like, 2 weeks.
Something you haven't told someone you knew for 10 years.
Something you haven't, and it's like, honestly, like, I feel like we discussed kids pretty early on.
Yeah,
like, when things started getting serious. We've also been together for around, like, 4.5 years.
And we're both scared of having kids, and probably won't.
Yeah, probably
unless
won't.
Unless you're my mom, and then we're thinking about it.
Unless you're mom, and unless you're my mom, and we're thinking about it.
You know, it's complicated.
I don't think you get to say anything if your thing that you're getting out of this is being a grandparent. Being a grandparent seems awesome.
Yeah, that seems so fun.
You could teach our kids to swear and show them old movies.
Yeah,
and get to have fun with them.
You get to, like, buy them the toys that you don't have to deal with.
And they'd bug us, and they'd be like, well, Grandma says we could do this.
When I was a kid, I was not allowed to watch SpongeBob. That's why I'm like this. But I could watch SpongeBob at my grandma's house. And boy, did I. Wow, that was huge. And then I would be like, well, she says it's her house, so it's her rules. My mom would be like, I swear to God. And I would be like, yay, SpongeBob. It was awesome.
She's very funny for someone who's never seen SpongeBob.
That's true.
Shockingly.
Despite all the odds, I've turned out funny.
You've turned out funny and mostly normal.
Dana gets so excited to tell Mel a benefit of lesbianism.
Which is that she doesn't, skips right past the fact that Mel has just told,
like,
her something
trauma,
so
something
serious that she has allegedly not told her partner of, again, four years. But she's like, oh, Marie can just carry it.
That's the point.
Thank
there's
God
two women.
You're gay.
I think she says there's two women. There's two wombs.
She literally says, like, thank God you're gay.
Literally. And it's like, this is way more complicated than just whose uterus is open
and
for
business.
And I'm
sure there are other reasons that Mel doesn't want to have kids. Because, like, she also talked in the first episode about, she's, like, for all that we rag on Mel, because, like, Mel isn't great in the show. Mel is not acting great. Mel should not be in a relationship. Mel should be in deep, deep therapy.
Wow, yeah.
But she clearly had, like, a tough upbringing and a tumultuous life.
And it makes a lot of sense why somebody who's been through what she's been through is maybe not interested in immediately having children without having figured out, like, the stuff she has going on.
Like, I think she mentions that, you know, it's, like, the whole thing she talks about where she had a bunch of women who she called mom during the years, which we don't necessarily know what that means, but it could mean that her parents split up or her mom wasn't in her life for some reason, and so her dad dated all these people,
and none
and
of
they
them are
left
there for her
life.
Now.
Yeah.
I think it's probably terrifying to confront the reality of that responsibility for a child when you feel like people weren't able to take that for you. But don't worry, girl. Marie can just have that baby.
Marie can just have that baby, and you actually do want kids.
Then
so
we get
toxic for toxic.
Yeah. Oh my god. We get 1 second of Ashley and Bridget.
Just to show Bentley.
Just to show Bentley the
dog.
It
doesn't count if it's Ashley and Bridget,
if
it's just to show Bentley.
And wow, yeah, we like Bentley, but
we
love Bentley.
I would like to see more of Ashley and but we see more of them. I think it's just that they just don't really have that much chemistry from what we're shown.
But, like, Pilar and Kyle don't have chemistry either.
We see a lot of them having tense talks. We see a lot of them. It's just they have less chemistry in, like, a more peaceful way. They do seem to like each other.
Yeah, I guess. Then, boom, Brittany and Marita are on a date. They're eating a salad, but it's...
from Wendy's.
From Wendy's.
Seemingly from Wendy's.
What the damn hell?
They pour some sort of ranch on it, and Brittany says... ooh, we're making her cream.
Yeah.
And then Marita says, you just can't leave two gay people alone.
Two lesbians alone.
They're very cute.
I
do like
them. Netflix is probably giving them some kind of food budget. Wendy's salad
Oh my god.
Marita is very charmed that Brittany hands her a fork to use for her Wendy's salad.
And Marita's like, aw. Does Ashley forget Marita's in the room? Like, do you think she just makes dinner for one person?
Well, I think they were probably broken up. So I think for a minute, Ashley's been making dinner for one person. Until it came out that they were going to go on the show and they were like, oh shit.
Guess we got to pretend to be
We like each other, but they're not that good at it. They don't like each other.
I think it's nice when you get me a fork or a straw or a napkin. It's definitely sweet. I like that you think of me.
Yeah.
It's not like the highlight of my moment.
It's all this is starting to make Marita seem more reasonable.
Yeah, way more reasonable.
Like, oh, this is the romance
the
you
romance
wanted?
Is just like, hey, I remembered we were going to eat the same food, so I brought you a fork.
I thought that I was under the impression from the first couple of episodes that Marita is like, why the fuck haven't you written me a 98-page story
about...
That's
like,
not really a novel.
Yeah.
Haven't we decided it's either a picture book or a scrapbook?
It's a scrapbook.
A 98-page picture book / scrapbook about our story together.
Oof.
I hope we get to see that, because I do think that she brought that with her.
There are a lot of quick pops of couples. We get a little second of AJ is cooking something for Marie.
She's cooking pasta, and AJ breaks the pasta.
And Marie goes, did you just break the pasta? You can never cook dinner again. It's actually, it's a really cute little second. It's clear that AJ is trying to care for Marie in the way that she cares for others by cooking for her. That seems nice.
It is nice. It's nice that AJ isn't making Marie do all the cooking.
It's a really good warm-up to what's about to happen.
You can describe exactly what happened, but I just want to let the audience know, all I wrote down in this note, all caps, was what?
Yeah, and I wrote down a lot. Okay, so we're back in... For those who... we're not publishing the full video of this. I was laying down, I sat up to tell you guys this.
Yes, can confirm.
We're back in security footage of Mel and Dana's apartment. They've just come in the door from something, and Dana strips off her shirt. But, so it's a full long sleeve shirt, which she was wearing, no bra. What I wrote was, Dana takes her shirt off, no bra, what the fuck, what the fuck, what the fuck, full tit, insane. I feel bad that I saw that, because she's fully shirtless, no bra, nothing. Allegedly, like, the nipples are blurred, but it's
allegedly the nipples are
everything's
blurred.
Blurry. It's like kind of grainy security footage. It didn't make a nominal difference to me in the amount of her entire naked breast that we could see.
So it's you're not showing us the strapping in the security cams in the bedroom, but you are showing us full tit?
Full, like, that was
full
crazy.
Full tit.
And then...
I think, I do feel like they digitally, not that I was looking too closely, but
yeah,
I feel
exactly.
like they
you
had
better
to
not.
Have di- You... You think I would want anything to do with Dana? She
no.
would kill me.
Yeah, probably.
She would chop me up into little pieces
and run your food truck into the river.
She would convince me that it was my dream to make a food truck
and
support
then...
me in making that dream a reality, and then reveal that she's actually hated me for 5 years because I didn't say hi to her one time,
and then
run the food truck into the river with me in it.
Yep. But don't worry, this scene continues. So Dana takes her shirt off, full naked top, feelings about that aside, whatever. And then she kind of walks into the bedroom, and then Mel says,
Dana, you're naked, bro.
She says, bro.
She says, bro.
She says, Dana, you're naked, bro.
Mel
and
will
then...
come up with worse terms of endearments somehow.
She's got some bad ones. So Dana takes her shirt off, goes into the bedroom, doesn't say a thing. Mel says, Dana, you're naked, bro. And then cartoon jogs, like literally, it's like, running, runs into the bedroom after her.
And they try to claim they didn't fuck.
What?
Why are you running then?
Why would you be running?
Why are you, running, if there's not sex
why are you,
at the end
yeah,
of this?
Why are you running after boobs if you're not a baby?
Why are you running?
Why are you running?
Why are you running?
Why are you running? Runs into the bedroom.
Runs
so
cartoonishly
happens.
Into the bedroom. Mel is AJ's Wario, I've decided. Like, they both
definitely.
Have iconic quotes, but they're iconic for different
for
reasons.
For different bad reasons. Then we get a little scene of Megan feeding Haley some popcorn and them smiling.
Yeah, they speed past that
they
real
speed
quick.
Past that. I got up and walked around the room. I was yelling. I was horrified.
We had to pause and rewatch
to
see if we could see nipple.
And we... like kind of could, and it was horrible.
It was horrifying.
I just kept saying, oh my god, that's all I kept saying. I was scandalized. The show moves past that like it's nothing.
Yep.
Like, we didn't just see Mel say, "Dana, you're naked, bro.
You're naked, bro.
Dana, you're naked,
Would
bro.
Would you still want to do anything with me
if
I
said you're naked, bro?
No.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Whoa. Ew. I would be like, no, thank you.
I don't know. I might... If you said that to me, I might try to forget that it happened.
You're just like, I don't think she can speak English, because that's not, she can't have said what I think she said. Anyway.
I think she's just distracted.
You'd be like, I would be like, leave the room and come back in again. And we'll
I would be like,
it.
Ah, the effect I have on her.
That's true. She gets me. Ugh, wow. Yeah, so that was gross.
So that was crazy. Then it's Megan is sensually feeding Haley popcorn.
That's nice, I guess.
Nice.
Whatever.
And Kyle is sleeping on the couch.
Oh, yeah. Pilar and Kyle are having tense wine.
About
how it's good that Kyle's sleeping on the couch.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. They're working through it.
And then we immediately move past that. Yes. We all need to wind down. So it's time for the only screen time Ashley will get this episode.
Ashley and Bridget screen time.
Ghost the movie.
Ghost the movie, the musical, the TV show. Do you want to talk a little bit about the ghost date?
I can talk a little bit about the ghost date. So basically, they go to a pottery making place. I don't know what it's called. I didn't know art like that.
Studio. It's called a pottery studio.
They go to a pottery studio, I guess. And they're like essentially making clay. They've got aprons. They've got the little spinny wheel. Ashley's kind of like, I just don't really get how to do this. And so Bridget goes behind her and very tenderly, like, moves her hands. They're literally just doing ghost to...
Yeah, the producers make them ghost.
Moves her hands to get the mound wet. And...
Yeah, that's fun. That's funny. I will say, Ashley has clay all over her watch. She's wearing a watch. I don't
An
know about...
Apple Watch.
Okay. What? That's even worse.
I thought she was wearing an Apple Watch. I thought we said not on the Apple Watch.
AJ wore an Apple Watch on a date. Ashley's wearing a normal watch. So she's got clay all up in that watch. What? Watches tend to be expensive. That was crazy to me. I was like, did she not know they were shooting this today? Take the watch off. I was so distracted. I was literally like, how are you going to clean that? But yeah, they ghost. They flirt. Ashley thinks it's nice to be flirted with. Because I guess she just hasn't talked to Marita in months.
Clearly, they've been broken up. Maybe Ashley doesn't consider it like the 98-page story flirting. Maybe Marita is locking herself in her room and cutting out pictures for a 98-page story. And
cute.
So she doesn't get much flirtation for like the several weeks that Marita is doing all of that. And then once a month, Marita will drop that on her desk and be like, okay, so where's mine?
Romance me.
Romance.
But this was, I thought this was cute. Like, it's so hard to extrapolate anything from the Bridget and Ashley stuff because we get so little of it.
Yeah, they say that they find each other, like, attractive. Bridget, I think, says that this helped a lot in their trial marriage and helped them get more comfortable with each other. I said trying to make us think Ashley and Bridget have chemistry. It's kind of working.
It really, anything could have happened. This could mean anything. We see so little of them that it's impossible to place.
I think they both think the other one is cute, but like
they're not going to do anything.
Speaking of doing stuff, we have our second implied consummation
of
the episode of the couples. Haley and Megan are kissing. I said Haley is so much taller.
Yeah, they're doing like kissing and hugging, kind of swaying.
Yeah, this is so Taurus for Taurus. It's just so like deeply romantic and
they're eating
sensual
whipped cream. There's whipped cream.
Literally,
involved.
They're eating whipped cream.
Ew.
Off of each
it's
other.
Sorry, gross. Everything's sticky. Sugar causes yeast infections.
Well, they might not be putting it like, oh, but you mean like
if it's on the fingers.
If
it's like, oh, I was just like, if it's in your mouth and if it's like sticky and it's sticky on your body. I just don't, I'm not a food anywhere near my bed at all type of person. Even
it's
if
like
I'm just
the aesthetic,
snack.
I kind of guess, but the reality is just
like,
so inconvenient.
It's very romanticized in film, like to lick whipped cream off one another, but in reality, everybody's sticky.
Well, it's also very romanticized in film to do anything in a shower, and that's so inconvenient.
It's so
maybe
you have such a limited amount of time before the water starts to become uncomfortably cold.
Maybe in a rich people shower, but
maybe in a rich people shower.
Us regulars, girl, you're just getting clean.
You're just getting clean worse than you would if you were just taking a shower by yourself.
So Haley and Megan go into the bedroom and close the door, and then we see the lights turn off. And usually, to me, as a student of The Bachelor, that's enough for me to know, okay, the producers want us to know they fucked.
And they also confirm in the very next scene that they fucked. So there was truly no need for the moaning.
I think it was Megan. I didn't want to have a thought about it, but it was kind of a timber that I wouldn't associate with Haley.
Megan, please confirm.
Hey, listen, get yours, queen.
I support, again, we have two couples who are hooking up with each other.
Doing the same thing. One of them I think it's fine, and one of them I think it's evil.
One of them I think, one of them I support fully.
And one I support zero.
Get off my screen, please don't leave, because I am watching an abject horror.
Megan and Haley are having an awkward little morning after day date.
I don't think it's an awkward little morning after. They're both kind of glowing.
Mm, that's true. They take sips of each other's drinks and then swap based off who likes what. That's something we do.
Every time we get cocktails, we always are going to try it, and then we decide who wins.
Yep.
Usually she wins, but I've won a couple times. Mm.
But whoever wins is I decide it, and usually I like what I picked better.
Yeah. So, well, I like whiskeys and bourbons more than you do, so usually you won't like if I pick something a little heavier, like
I'm
more
of an
old fashioned. But I also really love fruity flavor profiles.
Yeah, it's really cute. You get a fruity little cocktail.
I like a fruity little cocktail.
It's really fun.
It's always good.
Yeah, you know, it's your beer boyfriend drinking a cocktail. It's hilarious. Mm-hmm. They are talking about how the lines are getting blurry, and then they opened a door of connecting sexually, so they're not dancing around it. Haley and Megan are sitting at that table going, now that we've fucked,
well, because it's
do we
not
think?
A plot point that they deny doing it.
Yeah, that's true. Haley says, if we had gone through this and not, I think we could have gotten through this without hooking up, but I would have regretted it. And then Megan's in a confessional being crazy defensive. She is getting the voice of Dana looming.
Mm-hmm.
Megan saying, yeah, we hooked up all the way, more than kissing, and it's something we don't regret. But she looks terrified, like a sniper's going
to
take her out.
She knows that this is going to air, and she's like, I have to tell Dana about this.
She's terrified.
Yeah.
She's like, okay, was that a good idea? I don't know. But then Megan does say that she says to Haley, I feel like I chose myself choosing you.
I know, which is so nice.
Which is so sweet.
And I do know what happens, and it's... This is the biggest tragedy.
I'm really sad for what's kind of... I like the Megan that we see with Haley.
I like the Megan that we see with Haley.
We see her growing and like figuring out what matters to her and where she's comfortable drawing lines
she's
with her family.
She's less stressed
all the time. She's just relaxed.
And I think we
she's
see later
laughing.
How Megan and Dana interact this episode. And it's just unhealthy. It's just even if you're going to... Not to paint, like, either one of them out to be the villain, even though I do have my opinions of who I think is the villain in this relationship. It is an unhealthy relationship.
They don't like each other. They don't like being around each other.
They're just codependent. Like, they have this weird bond based on constantly being in situations of high emotional intensity together. And it's deeply unhealthy. I said... Megan keeps on remarking, she says that what she has with Haley is so different than what I have with Dana. And I said, nice and normal.
Yeah, literally. Oh, wow.
It's just so upsetting seeing the way that Megan and Dana in particular interact. Speaking of Dana.
Ooh, we're about to find out from whence she came.
We see a little title card, week 3 of Trial Marriages, and I wrote in all caps, the woman who spawned Dana.
I want to talk about her so
Yes,
bad.
Talk so, about her mom.
Mel is meeting Dana's family. It's Dana's mom and sister, her sister Melanie, whatever, her mother, Dana's mother, Angela. Wow, Angela. She's wearing a pink flowy blouse with open shoulders. She is blonde. Her hair is big. And, you know, in case you were curious, she's going to go ahead and have a little bit of body glitter on. Yeah.
Noticeable body glitter. I would
right
say slay,
on the cleave.
But I'm like, Angela, ooh, stop
Angela.
Putting glitter on your body and parrot your daughter.
No, never. I love it. I'm obsessed with her. She's... Wow, I wish we saw more of her. I hope we see more of her soon. Angela, just keep talking on my TV.
Yeah.
Ooh, I loved her.
We find out from Dana's sister that Dana beats people up in her sleep.
Yep.
She, not surprising, she introduces, no, we learned, not from her sister, we learned about from Mel.
Yeah.
My bad, that Dana beats people up in her sleep.
Everybody is kind of calling Dana, like, a huge bitch. I think Mel says spicy and stubborn, or maybe Dana says that about herself.
Yeah. Oh, Mel gets introduced as been my whole life and support system
for the past
for
two weeks.
which I think is really funny.
Melanie, the sister, says she really likes Megan and feels like Megan made Dana happier and a better person.
Dana was allegedly somehow more insane before she met Megan.
Yeah, I was going to say, yikes, this is happier and better?
I said they clearly don't like Mel.
Yeah, it's very clear that...
You can kind of tell, like, with some of the other parents where they're very nice to the trial partner, and maybe they're like, oh, well, it's kind of weird, we like the other person too, but... They kind of skip right into Dana's family. It's like, we really like Megan a lot.
Angela says that Mel and Megan and Dana are going to have to figure it out. She seems excited and possibly like she needs a cigarette. And I'd say, me too, girl.
You know that, like, Dana and Angela,
ooh,
like,
ripping cigs.
Ripping cigs.
Ooh, I love her. I want to
go. Dana talking about all the people who have done her wrong.
I want to drink Pinot Grigio with Angela really bad. But unfortunately, the scene is very short. Mel is just kind of silent. And then. Ooh, and then.
Dana, from this conversation, has suddenly remembered that Megan exists.
Yeah, she forgot. But then she remembers that there's another person that she needs to be in charge of. And she's worried.
She's worried. She's like, oh my God, this whole time that I was falling in love with someone else, what if Megan was falling in love with someone else?
I forgot about Megan and her feelings. Shit. So we see... We've got Dana. She's on the balcony. This is security
cam. So many balcony shots.
Balcony shots.
They don't know the security cam is there, I think.
Ooh, that's interesting. That's an interesting...
They probably go out to think that they would be having, like, private conversations.
That's so interesting. Because, like...
They make out for the first time on the balcony.
They do make out for the first time on the balcony. And then I guess they give up. But Dana's on the balcony. She's wearing a blanket. She's on the phone. And she's talking to somebody. And it's Megan. We think it's Megan. We know it's Megan. It's Megan.
It's Megan.
And
we don't
wow,
see how it starts.
We do see Dana kind of hysterically crying, saying, how can you talk to me like this? How can you say that? How could you do this to me? You're treating me like I'm nothing. All the things I say to Kara if she is a little slow to fill up my water bottle.
Yep. And I deserve every single one of those words.
Someone says, I'm going back to Michigan. Did they? I didn't know they were from Michigan.
No, I think, like, yeah, I think Dana says that because then Megan allegedly to Dana says, I'll pay for your flight.
Yeah,
this
I
seems
guess
like a normal conversation between the two of them.
Yeah, it's very high stakes. So
even though Dana claims this isn't the Megan she knows, I think because the Megan she knows will just be like, I'm sorry, babe, whatever you want, babe. I regret being born, babe.
Yeah, Dana is crying. She says she still loves Megan. I would never abandon you. I'm disappointed in you, too. Okay, we're all over the place. That's all right. Seems like Dana's got a lot going on.
Dana is claiming that she opened this conversation by saying that she really needed Megan, and this is how Megan responded. Megan claims Dana opened with something very different.
Yeah, we're going to hear more
and I 100% believe Megan.
We're going to hear more of Megan's side. At this point, Dana's off the phone, and Mel is on the balcony, and... Dana is crying and says to Mel that Megan didn't care, that she was going through it, and that Megan told her to fuck off. I'm at the bar. Stop calling me. But apparently Megan's never talked to her like that. So Dana's saying, I don't even know who that was. I don't know. Like, I know Dana would probably lie on TV. It's very odd to me, kind of this whole delivery.
Yeah, I guess Megan must have been out somewhere where they didn't have cameras, because, like, I wish...
Yeah, we don't see
Megan
talking.
We don't get the other half of this conversation. But I think, for whatever reason, they want us to speculate as to whether or not Dana actually started this off by being like, I really need you, I'm in a bad place.
Megan said, fuck off. So... It's also possible that Megan said, I'm not
having... I'm kind of mad at the show for this, honestly.
Yeah, I want to know. Because
I'm like, this is... Not to diagnose anyone with anything, But this reminds me a lot of some other really bad relationships I've been in. I've been in, but I've seen my friends go through.
Yeah, I was gonna say. I have with your other girlfriends. I'll kill them, and then I'll kill you, and then I'll kill myself.
Wow.
Not the AJ style meow.
I had to do it.
Had to do it to him.
Some other people who I know who have been in bad relationships, a lot of times they will have conversations with their partner, and their partner will open with something insane and confrontational, and then that will turn into a fight, and then later when recounting it, their partner will be, I just said this, like, totally reasonable thing, and you reacted like crazy.
Yeah.
And I think that's going on right here. I think it's very common in... I mean, it's, you know,
in toxic relationships.
Yeah, in toxic relationships. It's called gaslighting. I know that word is overused a lot, but I don't think that this should have been something for people to litigate if they had the footage.
If they had the footage, we would see the footage, unfortunately, I think.
You think so?
I think if they had the footage, we would see it. I think they're creating this, like, fun storyline because they don't have the footage, and I think, obviously, all this this dialogue was had. But I think we would see the footage if they had.
Well, then when do you think that Dana... Do you think that this was, like, in media res and, like, she called Megan on the way back from this dinner with her family and then they were continuing the conversation on the balcony?
I think Dana went onto the balcony, like, that same day, but later in the day at night and called Megan. And then they kind of started fighting. But I think it's more likely... at least from what I see here in the show, that at the end of this kind of, I think Megan probably said something to the effect of like, I can't have this conversation with you right now.
Yeah.
And Dana interpreted that as fuck off.
Fuck off. I hate you. I literally wish you were dead.
Yeah. Which, like, obviously when you're having an extreme emotional reaction and someone can't engage with you in it, that can feel that way. But yeah, Dana be crazy. Dana's be crazy. I think I can say that. I think that's
Dana's are trouble.
Yeah, actually, I can say what Mel said, which
Mel
is that Dana's are trouble.
Mel was 100%. Last time I'm going to say this on the pod, Mel was correct.
So that insane scene happens. But don't worry, everyone's going to talk about it a whole bunch more because we're having nights out.
And because they're all giver receiver couples, it means that we have one night out for the givers and one night out for the receivers, which is going to be really awkward because Megan and Mel are both receivers.
Megan and Mel are both going to be on the date together. And yeah, Dana and Haley are going to go ahead and be on the, did I call it a date? The party, whatever. Mm-hmm. They're putting them in a bar with unlimited alcohol and making them talk. Awesome. Awesome. What I want.
Great. This is some great portions. Perfect. We start off kind of light. We start out at the receiver party. We get some stuff with Bridget where Bridget says she likes the dog on the bed.
She says, I love the dog. I love being around the dog. Okay.
Bentley seems like a great dog.
Yeah, you're right. Bentley does seem like a great dog. Megan rocks up. Clearly.
Oh, I will
awesome.
Say that Marita talks about how she likes being femme for femme. And
Brittany will do her lip liner, which is hot. Yeah, I think a lot of lesbians are really into the famous picture. I don't know that does it necessarily for me.
You're not like femme for femme like that.
I can do my own lip liner fine, thank you very much.
You've done my makeup for barristers, and it's always looked really good.
I like doing your makeup.
I couldn't do your makeup,
because
though.
It's like, maybe, if we make a Patreon, Carol will do my makeup.
I'll try it. I'll try to figure out what makeup products are.
One time I asked her, and she called primer mousse.
I didn't know.
It was really fun. So maybe we'll do that. Not to tease something we don't have.
Yeah.
But everybody's kind of talking about, like, what it's like to be dating someone different. And Megan is clearly feeling herself. Megan's like, hell yeah, I got laid. I had sex with a woman who doesn't hate me.
And it felt so good.
And she's kind of quiet because of the whole Marita talking thing. AJ's kind of like, alrighty then. AJ does say she hopes that Brittany can put back into their relationship whatever she's learned from Marita, which is a little bit awkward, but I think is genuine. Like, yeah.
Yeah.
This is such an insane situation.
I will say Brittany and Marita just like posted a TikTok getting ready together, and AJ is on the outside of the room and is like, hurry the fuck up.
Wait, really?
So I think they're all friends now.
That's kind of really funny. Okay, that's cute.
But not during filming. Things are still probably awkward as fuck.
There's this kind of moment, which I think is the most genuine you can be. You know, AJ is kind of acknowledging, like, hey, it's awkward, but here we are.
Everyone's kind of having a good time so far, though, although that will end.
Yeah, we're with the givers. And Dana, I wrote, bad outfit. She is wearing a choker, and not in, like, a cool way how I wear them, in a way that I've decided is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I think she looks bad.
Yeah, I think her heinous vibes from with... Sometimes I'm like, we don't know these people. They're on reality TV. However... How could you be that bad and it's only what made the footage? They have hours of footage, and every single scene you are acting like that.
Brittany and Ashley are kind of talking about doing work with Marita.
Yeah, Ashley feels like she's not good enough, and she says Marita expects, like, top tier.
So they talk about meeting each other in the middle.
Brittany is like, y'all should maybe break up.
There is kind of some conversation about when Brittany spoke to AJ, and Marie says that that was difficult for her.
And Brittany kind of says, shut up about my man.
Yeah. No, that's later.
That's later that she says,
wait,
shut up
no,
about
okay,
my man?
No, okay, wait, it is this. So Marie is saying that it was hard for her that AJ talked to Brittany, and Brittany's trying to speak to this. And Dana weighs in for no reason and tells Marie that she deserves better than that. And Brittany says, the fuck did you say?
Yep.
She actually says, then AJ? But, sorry, that's, what the fuck did you say to me?
Which is Brittany perfection for
the what fuck, the fuck did, you did you say? And I would agree. Dana, why are you weighing in?
I literally did type in, Dana, shut up, all caps. And Dana says something about, like, oh, Brittany, you're clearly, like, fine, and AJ isn't threatened because you're not really attracted to Marita, but I can only imagine how you're feeling because AJ might be doing stuff with Marie. Haley has a tight smile for all of this.
And I also think, like, this is an interesting line to draw, and I think it's something that lesbians kind of litigate often, is this line between masculinity and femininity and who is attracted to whom, which I think there is kind of a general stereotype in lesbian relationships that one person's more masculine and one person's more feminine. But when Dana does something like this and alleges that there can't really be any sexual chemistry between two feminine women and points to a concern about sexual chemistry between a masculine woman and a feminine woman, that kind of leads into a version of heteronormativity that a lot of people are very quick to point to in the lesbian community, that there's an understanding that, you know, masculine women and feminine women act like a man and a woman, which isn't true at all.
Isn't true at all. And I will say that we are a butch femme couple, and, you know, just historically, that dynamic has been very, like, opposite to heteronormativity. Like, I don't know. I find it weird when people say that, oh, butch femme is just, like, heteronormative.
It's
when
it's just like being a girl and a boy.
And it's like, no, when you think the standards of attractiveness, it is subversive to find it attractive when a woman or a non-man is more masculine and is willing to take on, like, a queer masculine identity and not be conventional according to heterosexual standards of the world. I don't think we really need to moralize that much about the fashion and choices of, even though, like, sometimes, like, being butch is more of a lifestyle thing.
Yeah.
A lot of these people, I don't necessarily know how they would identify, but I would categorize them as more mask, where it's more of their style expression.
Mask is a presentation, and that's definitely valid. Like, some people present masculine and engage in their life how they do, and butch is a political identity and a social identity and a gender identity. And I think this is a small moment of microcosm of what lesbian dialogue is today about what it feels like to be masculine, feminine, what these relationships look like, how we relate to each other on a social level and on a sexual level. And all that to say, two feminine women can still fuck.
Yep, and they can enjoy it very much.
Shouts out. Love y'all.
Shouts out to Femme for Femme. Love y'all. Shouts out to Mask for Mask.
Yeah, it's real. It's slay. We love it. Yeah, Haley is really tense. Haley is kind of doing a tight little smile and like hoping Dana will shut up. In Receiver City, Pilar is starting to be afraid that Haley will not want to get back together with Pilar. I think Pilar has kind of gotten all she can out of being with Kyle and is now terrified that Haley might be getting more out of being with Megan.
Megan says, "I would never do anything to hurt you or hurt Haley," or something along
She's like,
those lines.
I would never try to hurt you to Pilar.
Yeah, well, you have
All
been
right.
having sex
You had sex with her girlfriend of 10
with
years.
10 years, but
So
also they signed up to be on the show.
seems like that's a lot.
Seems like that's a lot. They
AJ.
also don't necessarily know what Pilar and Kyle have
That's
been doing.
true.
And again, we don't know at this point whether Pilar and Haley maybe had some agreement that they were going to be fine with
With some stuff.
physical contact.
AJ brings up watching Marie kind of struggle through the breakup with Mel and Mel not acknowledging Marie at the pool. So this is
Yeah.
kind of the dialogue around Poolgate, which is what I've decided to call it.
Poolgate.
Mel says,
Yeah.
"What am I supposed to do?" I think there's an understanding, or a lack thereof, of what the rules are. So Mel seems to be saying that the rules of being in a trial marriage are that you act like you don't know anybody else. This is your wife. You don't know anybody else that's on the show.
AJ is like, we all say hi to each other. If I see any of you out and about, I will maybe not have full conversations with you, but I'll give a little wave and a
Exactly.
hi.
AJ is firmly rooted in the reality of the situation. Megan pipes up here to say that she had the same experience with Dana not acknowledging her. AJ piles on. Marie went through 2 weeks of hell. Megan says Dana can't even look at her. Mel
Rolls her
rolls
eyes.
her eyes. Sorry, what?
You diabolical hay mamas.
Literally save it for later.
You're not even tall.
Yeah. Yeah, you can't even act like that. You're not even tall. I
Not
think
that tall people can be assholes,
I was gonna
but
say tall people have moral absolutism. I think tall people can do whatever they
tall
want.
people have moral absolutism because y'all can't hear me from up there.
I was gonna say, you can put anything I want on the high shelf and then I can't have it. So you can do whatever you want, tall people. Go crazy. Megan says she's creating space, trying to rely on herself, and Mel starts to kind of come for Megan.
Kind of lie
Yeah,
a
a
lot.
little bit of lying. Mel's like, oh, well, are you always there for Dana? And Megan's like, yeah, what do you, what? Oh no, what phone call are you talking about? She says, yeah, I'm always there for Dana. And then Mel says, really? You always answer the phone? And Megan's like, yeah, I mean, if I have, like, what's happening?
Yeah, Mel says that Megan and Dana, she's like, you guys have punished each other enough. And it's like she seems to believe that Dana told her Megan did on this phone call was a punishment for Poolgate.
Yeah, and Mel is kind of saying, well, I don't know about that after last night. And Marita kind of gives a little side eye
What
and goes,
happened
what
last
happened last
night?
night?
I love Marita. Like, yes, Marita, get
She's
the
like, what happened last night? And Megan's like, I don't really want to talk about it very much. And then Mel says, you want to take this outside, bro? She says, do you want to go talk? I think
Two
we should
Megan's
talk.
giant arms.
Yeah, sorry, you have an autoimmune disease and Megan's a personal trainer.
Yeah, I mean, I think Mel would be scrappy.
This is true.
I think Mel has physically fought people in the past.
I would say this is a pretty even fight, edge to Megan, but yeah, so
I still think that Megan would just grab her by the comb over and judo flip her.
yeah, the energy is
The top bun
insane.
would help at this point because it's all
Yeah, you can't
compact.
grab it. It's up there. The energy is really,
It's a mask off.
it's a mask off. They are going mask for mask with physical, with fighting.
Toxic mask versus baby mask.
So they go outside. Megan and Mel are gonna talk.
I think I said about this, like the Mel versus Megan thing, hydrogen bomb versus coughing baby.
Oh my God, literally. And then they're gonna go outside. We cut to Haley and Dana are gonna have a little chit chat. Haley says Megan's open about her feelings. It's felt intimate. Dana is dead face.
Dana is pissed. Haley says Megan will be in her life forever. Haley hopes that her and Pilar can mesh the work that they've done on themselves, but also realizes this can make them grow apart. And she says she just wants to meet in the middle. I wrote down, Dana says about Megan, I have known this girl my whole life, has known Megan for a year and a half. We're being really generous with that half, too.
That, yeah, very true.
It's so like rounding up, kind of. It's really, it's like a year. Like,
Kyle is kind of gently saying, like, hey, like, Pilar misses you, you know, is, like, ready to be there for you. And then Dana and Haley are kind of having this crazy conversation. And Haley does kind of pull Dana and says, like, hey, like, I didn't hear this phone conversation, but it seems like it was very difficult for Megan. And that's when Dana says, I've known this girl my whole life, year and a half, but all right.
Mm-hmm.
Dana says, Megan's resenting me and hating me and digressing. And Haley says, I think Megan is growing, but it might not be in the ways that you're expecting.
Mic drop.
Yeah, that's femme for fuck you.
Femme for fuck you.
That's femme for fuck you back to wherever the fuck you came from, bitch.
Probably Florida, maybe Michigan.
Yeah, allegedly Michigan.
Allegedly Michigan.
Then we get Megan and Mel discussing and the phone call. Wow. Okay.
So, I said Megan is like the nonchalant final boss.
Yeah, Megan is really doing a good job of not letting her emotions get to her. Mel's a little bit all over the place.
Well, Megan has had training from this from a year and a half of condensed Dana.
Yeah, real. So Mel's like, Dana called you and asked for help, and you didn't do anything. Megan says that what Dana said to her is that we're breaking up and I'm going home.
Yeah, which I believe.
Yeah.
I believe Megan. I believe Dana did not open this saying, I really need you. I believe maybe she said that, like, an hour in.
Yeah.
I 100% believe that
Megan,
she, out of nowhere, called Megan and was
and
like,
I'm in love with Mel. I'm leaving.
We need to break up. I can't bear. Well, I actually don't even think she would bring up she was in love with Mel. She wants Megan to think she's choice number one still.
Whoa.
At this point in time, it's advantageous for her. It's advantageous. She's like, Megan's forgotten about me, so I've got to remind her of me.
That I'm insane.
And I think she did that. I think Megan was like, dude, what the fuck? And then midway through that conversation, Dana was like, I really need you right now. I can't believe you're being like that. And Megan was like, well, you're acting crazy. And Dana was like,
you hate me and want me to die.
You hate me.
Megan wraps this up very succinctly by saying that that conversation put a bad taste in her mouth. And yeah.
It put a bad taste in my mouth, and I wasn't even a part of it.
Yeah, I didn't like it. Megan throughout is doing kind of this, like, pretty up, stable body language. And I would say Mel is doing a very, like, relaxed, come at me, bro body language. But I think Megan wins the mask off here, and I am able to adjudicate that at any time and in any situation.
She's the official referee.
If anybody wanted to come and have a mask off in front of me, I would be able to adjudicate that as well.
I would prohibit that.
Hit my line.
No, don't do it. Please. Please. Only. Please. Especially not if you're 5'8 and over. Especially not if you play for the WNBA.
If you are in the WNBA and you would like to settle a debate with a fellow masculine WNBA player.
Okay, who do you think wins the mask off? Tosh Cloud, Brittany Griner.
I think I win.
You got too excited about that.
I think I win. My address is...
No!
She's going to cut that, but I just tried to say my address.
It was the actual address.
I just started saying my
it
real address.
It wasn't fake.
Sorry, you offered me a dream scenario. You put down a piece of beautiful, perfect steak for me. And I bit. Sorry.
So, like, if I said your social security was number was needed for you to adjudicate, you would just...
Yup. Y'all can have it. I don't know. This is why
we have to stop, because she actually will say it on the air.
I know it off
on the air, on the podcast, which we can fully edit before we release.
Do you know your social security number by heart?
Yeah.
Okay, me too. Good. That's important.
Okay.
Okay, cool. So Dana checks in on Marie.
And is like, hey, I'm totally not fucking your girlfriend.
How you doing, girl? And Marie says, it's kind of crazy that you're talking to me.
And Dana's kind of like, well, I just think you should be giving Mel the benefit of the doubt. And Marie says, is that what you're doing with Megan now?
Oh,
giving
my God,
her the benefit of
awesome.
The doubt?
Because
Dana is being body slammed by every other femme at the Givers. Like, dinner.
And Dana says something so crazy to Marie. So she says, like, Megan is my whole existence and being. Again, a year and a half.
A year and a half is saying she can't live without Mel for, like, 2 weeks.
Yes. So then she says,
P peeing together, allegedly.
Yep. Megan is my whole existence and being, but I can't live without Mel. Marie says, do you guys like each other? Babe, they're fucking.
They are fucking. Fucking they have style. Probably confessed love to each other.
Babe, they're fucking insane.
They're fucking crazy, fucked up, bad, toxic, insane
style.
Yeah,
diabolical.
Diabolical fucking.
Dana says that there are feelings there and she needs Mel in her life. And then Marie delivers the killing blow, which is to say that she says, if Mel comes back to me and tells me I'm in love with Dana, I can't do anything about that. But it's not a conversation you and I are going to have.
She says, fuck off. She says, I don't want to talk to you.
Bitch. And awesome. And awesome. And I think that's also like, obviously it's very hard to draw boundaries in the ultimatum by design. But I think that's a nice, like, neat boundary. She's like, we don't need to chat about Mel. That's not really...
Whatever's happening with you and Mel, I will hear from Mel.
But she'll also hear it from Haley, who sidles up to Marie and is like, hey, can we talk? Which is, so she's going to do a hey girly moment. Haley says that she's heard things. She does not trust where Dana and Mel are going, and they are more romantically involved than they are letting on.
She says there's a lot of receipts.
But that they don't, she doesn't have them. She says there are receipts, not from me. I really want to know what this means. I have kind of
we're
an idea.
We're going to find out about it
means,
next episode, I
and
think.
And we are kind of going to find out, and I think I know what this means, but essentially Haley's saying, girl, keep an eye out.
I will say, I forgot this moment, I think, with the mask off.
Yes.
Mel talks about, she's like, you should feel bad for Dana. She's so scared something's going on with Haley. And I wrote down, something is going on with you guys.
Yeah.
Like, neither Megan nor Dana at this point have a right to be pissed at each other.
Really
they are
time.
Both doing the same thing.
They're both being nuts. Haley tells Marie, like, hey, I think you deserve better. Marie says, everything's going to come to light. And then we cut to AJ and Marie.
We have a
place.
Music sting where it's like, how then, do you sleep
how
at night?
Can you sleep?
Liar.
Yeah, it's pretty much that.
Yeah.
And then they are hugging in their kitchen, and Marie is looking very tense. AJ hops up on the counter.
He's like, what's up?
He's like, hey, sock it to me. Then Marie says, Haley told me that Mel and Dana are fucking. AJ is shook.
Face play of the week.
AJ is like,
shout out Game of Roses.
AJ is stunned. Marie pissed.
Marie
tense.
Is going full
this is
Terminator.
A full
she is going on a rampage.
Can I do the line? Can I do
you
the line?
You can do
can
the
do
line.
What she says, the fact that I can feel the way that I felt while she's playing house, fuck that. That's exactly what she says.
That's exactly what she says. And she follows it up with vowing she is going to find Mel and demand an explanation, saying, I will literally go to every single fucking floor and
every
scream
floor.
Her name.
I am not going to bed without
she
talking to her.
She is haunting Mel through the entire city of Miami.
AJ says, go get your answers.
AJ is like,
she's like, I won't get in the way.
Please don't kill me.
AJ is like, kind of cowed, is like, okay, girl, bye.
AJ's like furiously texting Brittany, like,
AJ's like,
I'm scared.
Run. It's scary here. I miss you. I'm scared.
Just
yeah.
like, be really happy right now. Things didn't work out with Mel.
Marie says, I will find her ass. And
credits.
That's the end.
This was a crazy
Mwah.
Episode.
Mwah. Love it. Love
We've
it.
Already
love
been talking for like an hour
so,
and a
we've
half.
We've literally been talking so much, but it was it.
We had a
crazy.
Lot to get through.
Oh my God. It was so good.
So.
Okay. Well, do you want to talk or do you want
You can go first.
Okay. Here's who I think.
In the trial marriage
yeah, trial
partners.
Marriages, who should get trial married? Megan and Haley. Hashtag save
yes,
Megan.
Save Megan.
I think, like, Haley is really bringing out a lot of sweetness and stability in Megan. Megan seems to be really blooming under just any kind of positive energy, and I think that's really nice. And also, I think that Haley and Pilar have been together for long enough. If it's not working, it ain't gonna work.
Yep.
And, yeah. As for who should break up, this is a very interesting question. I think I'm going to say Kyle and Pilar again because that is just, they are two wooden planks just laying next to each other.
I think they thought their nervousness was chemistry.
Yeah, I really think they thought, like, they were both kind of excited and, like, Pilar was very excited to be flirting. Honestly, I think Kyle and Pilar need Bridget in the middle. To have any kind of chemistry. And
I think I'm supportive of them as a throuple, not supportive of them as a couple.
Exactly. Kara, who do you think?
I agree with you, Megan and Haley. Hashtag free Megan. But I would say, secondly, I don't necessarily want Marita and Brittany to get married, but I do want them to stay friends
Yeah,
forever
it
and
seems
travel the
like
world.
they seem really cute, and Marita seems very happy, and Brittany seems happy to be, I don't know, sharing the space and also
Yeah.
like possibly starting to get the vibes that she is safe from Mel.
I think
Marked safe.
that
Brittany's been marked safe from Hurricane Mel.
I think that I do think Brittany is really taking on a big role in their trial marriage.
Yeah.
But I think if they stay friends for a couple years, I really think once Marita is no longer 25, she will maybe appreciate all that Brittany did for her, and
And
I think they can really grow together as
I
friends.
think they're very cute.
As for who I think should break up, I'm reneging on my Mel and Dana,
Take each
toxic or
other
toxic,
out.
take each other out. Now I'm just like, I don't want to see any of this. I don't
Yeah,
want to
I
see
don't
any
need to
of
see them
this.
fucking. I don't need to hear them
I
moaning.
don't need to know that Mel said, calls Dana bros in a sexual manner.
Sexual bro.
Sexual
A
bro.
diabolical bro.
How did Marie deal with that for 4 years?
I don't know. I think 'cause this is her first gay relationship and she doesn't really know better.
Yeah, that's true.
Woof.
Well, that was that
That
episode.
was a good one.
Things only will get crazier from
Oh
here.
my god, the beginning of episode 6 is so good. Y'all are gonna love it. We love you guys. We love you freaks.
We love
We were
you.
really funny this time, I think.
I think so. Well, that's for you guys to judge. Anyways,
Anyways, love you.
bye!
Bye!